After experiencing the transformative power of a regular meditation practice, it's natural to feel inspired to share this gift and guide others on their own journey of discovery through meditation. Join Buddhist teacher David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell, comedian and creator of the Netflix animated series The Midnight Gospel, for a free online event on Tuesday, May 7th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. They'll discuss the profound practices of mindfulness in Dharma Moon's renowned mindfulness meditation teacher training program. Get certified by Dharma Moon to teach meditation, lead group practice sessions, and work with individual students. Visit dharmamoon.com/beherenow for more info and to reserve your spot for the free online event with David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell.
Welcome to Ram Dass Here and Now. I'm Raghu Marcus, and we have a very unusual podcast with Ram Dass today, which you might say it's truly Ram Dass Here and Now, and I'll tell you more about it in a minute. I do want to mention something that it occurred to me that I don't think I've shared with our Ram Dass Here and Now satsang. And that is, some time ago, my wife Saraswati talked with Ram Dass about taking people over in a yatra, a pilgrimage, a spiritual journey to the places that he went when he first went there in 1966-7 and lived there for about 9 months in that valley, Kenchi Valley. And from there, of course, was, as many of you do know from Be Here Now, Maharaji got him with a family in Nainital, this amazing town with it right in the foothills of the Himalayas, right in the big part of the mountains. It's very steep there, and there's a beautiful lake there, and that's where Ram Dass was introduced to family life, Indian family life, through the family of K.K. Shah and M.L. Shah. And so she talked to Ram Dass about this and said, and basically asked for his blessings to do this. And so we did start this in March of this year, and it was so incredibly profound. And I went along with it, and I'm going to go along with it again because we got it going again in end of September, first 10, 11 days of October this year, 2018. And it was so special, and the people that we were with just engaged in those footsteps and of following Ram Dass into all these places that, of course, I was there with him the second time he went back. So I was a bit of a guide and shared all my experiences of being in Kenchi and in Kakriyagat, where Sombari Baba was, this other great, great Siddha, beyond a saint, had a temple by this beautiful river. I mean, extraordinary, extraordinary places. So anybody who's interested, please go to nourishinglife.com// Yatra, Y-A-T-R-A. And there's a page there on Saraswati's website, Nourishing Life, and that explains it all and gives a good accounting of the kind of experience that you will have should you want to come. So this is not something I've ever done before, and I've gone in support of my wife, Saraswati, and I had such a good time myself just being, I love sharing with people, so it was perfect recipe for me to do that and stop thinking about myself for a minute. So, again, nourishinglife.com/yatra. Okay, so that's my ad for the day. And so this podcast, I told Ram Dass, well, let's do a Skype session together. We haven't done that in a while, and I record them. And yeah, I'll find some stuff for us to talk about, I said. So that day came. And I started to talk to Ram Dass. It was about a theme for the retreat that we're doing in Maui at the end of the year, November 28th, 2018. And I had talked to Sharon Salzberg, and she had come up with an idea that I wanted to share with him. Anyhow, the long and the short of it is that until later in the podcast, it was later in the podcast that he realized, oh, this is the podcast. Because he kept thinking, when is he going to start the podcast? So it turns out to be an extraordinarily informal chat, myself and Ram Dass, without him. It's kind of like, you know, he didn't have, not that he, I'll tell you the truth. Whether he knows that it's being filmed or it's being recorded doesn't change anything for him. His present, he is so present, notwithstanding the circumstances. It's a beautiful thing. It really is. So you'll get a feel of this, and we get into some pretty interesting things around generosity. And I think I'll leave it there because I go into it with him, and I do try and prompt him based on what my own thoughts were around this particular theme. So here you go. It's Ram Dass here and now, and really here and now, on the Be Here Now Network. So I was talking to Sharon about what are we, you know, some kind of theme for our retreat at the end of the year. Open your heart in paradise. And she said, what about generosity? What about generosity? What about caring, reaching out, and how that affects us? And I started to really think about it, and I really love the consequential kind of stuff that I think happens from generosity, not just the act, but even the mental act. Like when you reach out in your mind to somebody in some way, you're not angry, you're cutting off, you know, you're not getting even, all the kinds of things we do with people when we get really upset, most especially. And you do that even in your mind, you immediately stop thinking about yourself. And the whole thing changes, right? So generosity, we don't talk about it much, but I think it's a real it has really great consequences when it happens.
Yeah, that's good.
How it came up, by the way, is she remembered, Sharon, that because of your generous spirit at the time, this was just after coming back from India in 72, 3, and 4, you were the first teacher to open the door for Joseph Goldstein. And she has somehow remembered that and the how important that was, that you did that act, that you made that gesture, you reached out to him. That's what sparked her thinking around generosity.
Yeah. Generosity.
Yeah, I'm thinking
generous with love, generous with compassion, generous with wisdom, generous. Yeah.
It's for me, it's about what are the ways, I mean, we talk about you have the practice of loving awareness, which helps to create a new platform or perspective from which to engage with your life, your incarnation, moving out of your mind ego into spiritual heart. That's one practice. There's other ways to get in this into that heart space. Chanting may be one of them. Any kind of devotional meditation, most especially guru meditation, is another one. So we've talked about all these different methods by which we can, you know, move into that space which doesn't have fear, doesn't have separation, doesn't have anxiety, doesn't have stress, all the things that we all deal with on a day-to-day basis. So when she said this thing to me, Sharon, around generosity, I started to think about it when I actually, when that happens for me, it shuts down all of that other stuff immediately. So then I started thinking, well, how do you engender, like you just said, more love, more joy, more peace, more wisdom, that you want to share that, right? And that generosity.
Sharing is an interesting word.
How so?
Sharing your spirit, sharing your joy, sharing. And it's got the people in it.
I got that. I guess I'm trying to probe. Sharing is generosity, right? I mean, I'm trying to probe, like, you came back from India and that's all you did. What prompted you? You had no choice, probably, right? You would probably say, I don't know. What prompted you to do this? What you did? What prompted you? Okay, Maharaji said, don't talk about me. So he wasn't prompting you in that way, anyhow. On another plane, of course, something else, but. Yeah, can you look back and say, and what was it that led you?
I wanted to share with people.
Yeah.
I wanted to share the joy of this. We had only politicians or actors or business people as our models. And here was Maharaji, and now Maharaji, now we could take a new step. Yeah. That generosity.
No, there's something there in you that's going, there's something fishy about generosity I'm hearing in your voice. Like it's still an act, right? You're doing, there's a doing behind it. And that can create a problem. Just like, that's what I thought you were saying with...
And it's only one person doing the act. I'm generous. If you share... Yeah, it's okay. It's okay.
No, it's not okay. I'm hearing where it's not okay, and I think it's worth talking about. And we'll talk further about it, you know, at that time, but here we are right now. We might as well, because I'm hearing, I mean, it all, I guess, boil, not I guess, it all does boil down to if you are attached to your action and you're, I'm a doing, I'm a generous, I'm a sharing, I'm a anything, it is not going to, it won't be truth. It just won't
yeah.
be. So I guess it does go back to working on that place inside us that is aware and is aware of the motivations and can say, you know, can be honest with oneself about what oneself, what that is. But I still think there's another place, though, where it's more from intuition or inspiration or whatever you want to call it, where you just, you look at somebody. It happened to me the other night, okay? I'll tell you. I was, a week ago, I was doing kirtan, and I was with people who were doing kirtan, and there was, I had a prejudgment about one of the people, as is my wont. And, but ultimately, when we were together in the same vibration, there just jumped from me, all of that stuff went goodbye, okay? And I had a genuine experience of wanting to reach out, period. And in that doing, I stopped thinking about it. The judging mind and all that stuff went away. So that's real, no. too.
That's not generosity.
What is that?
Reaching out.
Well, I think it's a synonym for generosity. It's within the, under the blanket of generosity.
Okay.
It's an action that gets taken from that. Generosity is a feeling, right? It's a feeling of reaching out. It's a feeling of caring. Caring. You cared about all those people you came back from India and saw, okay, here, I have a model that everybody needs to hear about of this being of unconditional love, and I'm going to share that model. You reached out, generous act, you weren't thinking about it.
Generous act. It's so much ego.
With the act part, huh? Sometimes I feel
like generous. Generous.
Yeah.
Generous. I'm generous. I'm generous.
You are generous. Yeah. No, but you are generous. You are. Look at all
generous. This. Generous.
Like we'll be walking along, and if I'm with you and in a retreat or public place and somebody comes up, they want to talk to you. There's been six people already that you've stopped to talk to. And I'm like, well, he can't really talk right now. He's got to go to dinner or whatever it is. And you put the brakes on in that moment and go, no, I'm going to be here with this person for this moment. That's called generosity.
Okay.
I win.
Okay. So it's called generosity?
Yes. That moment that you stopped me from going and pushing that person aside.
So the retreat's generosity.
I think it's one of the ingredients. In your case, it is. In your case, because you have that. So I think it's part of motivation, and we'll have to talk about that as well, because it can get into I'm being generous, you know, certainly.
Yeah.
But we shouldn't shy away from just it naturally arising and changing our chemistry in that moment. Like I said, I had that experience last weekend. So I think it's a good subject, right?
Okay.
All right, so moving on, I've had some email exchange from, we're always talking about the next generation. How can we get as much of what we've been given all these years, make it available and pass it on and all of that stuff? And so somebody of the next generation in Ireland actually got in touch with me, and she's got a community around a publication, I believe, and they have, and she in particular, has had you and the teachings that you have represented these years been very, very connected to. So I thought it'd be interesting to give you an idea of what people are thinking about this connection that you so generously shared all those years ago. So one of the questions is, okay, what's the most important thing that we got from Maharaji that is now filtering through to this next generation? In your mind, what's the most important thing?
Love.
Right.
Unconditional love. That we are like Maharaji, that we are free to expand. That's one. That we need a guru. It takes the pressure off because I'm not the captain of the ship. He's the captain of the ship. And it's trusting is trusting a father figure.
Father, mother, right?
Yeah.
The idea that we can expand beyond our limitations, limited mind. The idea that there is a guide, a guru, that is absolutely connected to every individual, and however that manifests in any one lifetime is strictly due to someone's karma. And once there is that established connection with the mother, father, universal mother, father, then you develop a trust that allows you to stop thinking that you are controlling and wanting to control everything in your life.
That controlling business is fear.
Yeah.
And even if you can't give up fear, give up fear once you have a guru.
Even then, not so easy, though, right?
No.
Well, when I thought about this, when she asked about what we got from Maharaji, of course, the first thing is not even a thought, unconditional love. I mean, we had never been loved that way. And you and many talks have talked about that, and we've talked about it at the retreat. But I'm going back to our caring. how much that display of caring that he had for us and everything that walked in front of him. So, right? Caring was it's the core of the satsang, the idea of satsang is that caring. I think that's a big part myself of what has come back through to the West through you and everybody else that is being now transferred, one might say, to next generation. There's a real caring and a wanting of being together in a community of like-minded people. I think that that's extraordinarily important. Along with so I'm going to put that in the
satsang before, and satsang means truth,
right? And that is certainly the other ingredient, along with expanding beyond limitation, guru, trust, caring, satsang, truth is
and all one.
Yeah. Right. Very first thing that he, when I sat down the very first time with Maharaji, there's only one. Buddha, Krishna, Christ, Ram, Muhammad, only one. And he'd do the thing you just did, point the finger. Yeah. And by the way, that that truth, right? Of course, he said to you, and it's what is so prominent in all of these years of you teaching, is the story of him saying, love everyone and tell the truth. And the one of the most powerful ways in which we got from you back in the day, after you came back from India the first time, that we that trust, Maharaji engendered that trust through you, by virtue of the way that you related with the truth. I don't mean the big truth. I mean just honest about yourself. Everyone
my
could
truths.
Feel, yeah. Everybody could feel comfortable, right? It's okay.
Yep.
Okay. Next question. Okay, she's got another question. So, the concern is that once people get on the spiritual path, and they do connect with the guru, and they do connect with the reality that they can expand beyond the limitation, and trust and satsang and caring all come together. But then there's a concern of turning that journey, which they now have a whole new set of nomenclature, of terms, of spiritual terms, the life is in that perspective on a day-to-day basis, practice and so on. Bhakti yoga, gyan yoga, all of a sudden have this whole set and setting, shall we say. So the concern is that they would turn that spiritual journey into another form of materialism. It just takes over their life in the same way, and the relationship to separation, fear, anger, anxiety actually remains the same. What would your prescription be to not get caught in turning? And this is, if we have to go back and remember when we were first ourselves, dealing with this kind of a thing, where we easily turned what it was that was we were getting on a day-to-day basis into a materialism of some sort. Your old friend, our beloved teacher, Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche, wrote a whole book about it called Spiritual Materialism. And yeah, what do you have to say, Ram Dass, that would might help people to avoid that trap?
To live as if the oneness was real. All of us, all of the things are one. And live not in words. Go behind words.
And thoughts, no?
Yeah.
And thoughts.
Yeah. And then if spirituality were a thought, then love it and be the witness be the loving witness. Like yoga, these words have a life of their own.
Yeah.
The words are spiritual materialism. And that's spiritual materialism.
The mala beads that you're holding in your hand?
Yeah.
But then Ram it's, takes you behind leading, the words.
It's leading you someplace.
Yeah.
Right. We focus on the means or the path, and the path usually has materialism to it.
We're talking about the loving witness. That's a nice term, actually. Coming from loving awareness, the loving witness. So it's good because it leaves out the judging person, the judging mind stuff. And so you realize your motivations, but you are not yelling at yourself. You're not completely crucifying yourself at every moment. And in doing so, there's an evaporation of the motivation for spiritual materialism, which is to gain something, which is to beat somebody at it, to be better, all of those kinds of motivations, or to replace actually dealing with some of the issues that we all carry around with us and avoiding those, which is called the spiritual bypass, which is certainly a big part of spiritual materialism. So I love the loving witness, because we are all doing this all the time, no matter how far along the path we are, the way I see it in terms of my own interactions with everybody, that's absolutely necessary, the loving witness. And this came, you've got, of course, the big, massive, tough or fierce grace teaching, right? That that basically your whole life changed after this stroke. And you, as you say many, many times, you were pushed inside yourself. So that was obviously the very fierce grace. And from that, that perspective has grown and grown and grown over these years in Maui. Yeah, can you say something about how does it feel for you to live more and more from this heart perspective? How is your life different?
I perceive myself and the universe differently. Differently. My perception is tinged with love. But I must be careful not to love with my ego.
How does that manifest when you've noticed it?
In my mind, they should receive love. And I should give it to them. And I'm doing it out of my mind.
Right.
And it's whether I should give it to him rather than Maharaji give it to him. So I'm the worm.
You're the worm. Back to that. Yeah. For everybody who doesn't know, one of the last retreats we had, Ram Dass suddenly spurted out, "The reality is, I'm the worm at the end of the fishing pole that somebody is throwing out." Yes.
The Maharaji is throwing out.
Yeah, the Maharaji is throwing out.
Generosity.
I knew it. I knew we were going to come back to it. I even ventured to say, in response to the question of what we brought back from Maharaji and what you have brought back from Maharaji all these years and represented in teachings and so on, it's the of course unconditional love, of course truth, of course compassion, of course the idea that we can expand beyond our limitations like we have never seen before in our lives, that possibility, and the trust that gets created with Guru. But in particular, Maharaji somehow installed inside our very limited personalities of extraordinary variants. I mean, all of us from different walks of life that went over there in our youth, and he seems to have it's almost like an operation, like a psychic operation that put this thing in us that made us want to share this thing, that made you want to share this thing. And I think it is generosity. And I agree, just like it can be, like you said, every word. The words are so difficult. They're all spiritual materialism. Yoga, God, bhakti, whatever it is. But there is that other place, and I guess that's really what we need to do, is nurture that other place through identifying with loving awareness. And suddenly that perspective, which is what happened to you after the stroke, gets centered in once it gets centered in the heart. And then what did you say? It all is then, the perception is tinged with love.
Yeah.
That's really lovely.
Yeah. And then that leads to a self-concept . You become a loving person. You work from that no angry person, no, but a loving person. Yeah. And Larry comment when he said, when I sit before Maharaji, I know he's a saint that loves people, but at that time I look around and I love people.
That's the key. That's the key. Yeah, I agree. That is totally and we can call it anything we want, but whatever that thing is, we can call it generosity, we can call it unconditional love. Yeah. But you know, we call it Maharaji, which is not the person in the blanket beyond, it's the thing that connects us all, right?
Yeah.
Right on. That's the best story of all Maharaji stories, that one from Larry Brilliant. And by the way, everybody listening, Larry wrote a wonderful book, Sometimes Brilliant, which you can easily get a hold of, and we'll put a link up on the podcast. And while we're at it, if we're talking about books where you want to really get an idea of what it was like for us Westerners who followed Ram Dass back to India. Love Everyone, which Parvati Marcus wrote a couple of years ago. And I highly recommend that. And of course, Be Here Now still sells like hotcakes. Okay. Oh, that means the podcast is over. It's gone to the dogs. Oh, boy. Ram Dass, I want to thank you for hanging out on your podcast. It's a great opportunity for me to spend this kind of time. And 'cause it gives an excuse to spend this kind of time, which is really delightful. So appreciate it. And thank you for being here. Thank you, Ram Dass. Namaste.
Thank you for inviting me. And your work is very phenomenal in terms of getting in touch with people. And so many people say to me, I listened to the podcast and that's why I'm doing spiritual work.
That's very gratifying. Thank you for having me here with you all these years, really. And this is your podcast, so I have to say thank you for having me on your podcast. Okay. All right, everybody, we'll see you next week on Ram Dass Here and Now, Ram Dass and I, and it's on BeHereNowNetwork.com. So we'll see you next time. Ram Ram.
Ram Ram. I love you all.
Ram Ram.
Yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by the Love Serve Remember Foundation and ramdas.org. We appreciate you listening, and we appreciate all the support that you've given us. Please continue that support and donate at ramdas.org. We can then continue to share what Ram Dass has been sharing for all of these years. Thank you.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What do you need to get off your chest? We all carry around different stressors, both big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. It's also a great way to learn to resolve conflict, develop positive coping skills, and much more. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Ramdas today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/Ramdas.